nothing short. After hearing about it, Israelis ask me all the time. They're like, Michael, what? This is not your fight. You're not Jewish. This is not your fight. You could be back in the United States living a life of comfort, have a good job. I have a good job.
Mike in front of you, please.
Yeah, sorry. So,
we're taping two things here, his show, our show.
Okay, so, you know, but I go back and I say, you know what, two things. I give him a brief overview. My mother used to read Torah to us when we were kids. The Pentateuch, the Mosaic Law.
You're a Christian.
I am. Right. The first five books of the Bible. For an hour every night. And they're like, wow, is your mother Jewish? And I'm like, no. Why would she do that? Well, because we honor. We esteem. We hold in high regard God's word given to the Jewish people. Because we know that everything that we have today, if it were not for them, their existence, we wouldn't be so blessed. And that also comes from the fact that if we didn't have the first five books of the Bible, then we would not have the United States Constitution or a Bill of Rights.
Mm-hmm.
We owe the Jewish people for our freedom. I don't want to get off on a tangent, but this needs to be said.
Your show, man. You can do whatever you want.
This needs to be said. When I look at a timeline through man's history, I see two things. The fingerprint of the Jewish people throughout that timeline and the hand of God pushing that fingerprint to make that impression indelible in the history of mankind. It's amazing, amazing. And you can never truly experience it, folks, until you come and join up with Tom Trento and come on a tour to the Jewish state. You will never fully comprehend or understand the greatness of this country and these people until you come to Israel. This is not an apartheid state. There's no Muslims being oppressed. In fact, if you look at the laws, the Muslims have more rights than the Jews do. They have an affirmative action style law, but that's another thing. Listen.
Well, one point on that.
Okay.
On our tour, we had it wasn't a tour, it was a mission, a fact-finding mission
there
on national security issues. We went into Jericho at one point, and there's big red signs. You are entering dangerous territory. Israelis not allowed. The Israeli government cannot protect you. So the Muslims can go wherever they want to go, basically. You know, some control. But Jews can't go into...
There you go. Listen, folks, there's lots of folks that are Israeli that aren't Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
But no Jews allowed. That's what they... On the Temple Mount.
Mm-hmm. Same thing. We ran into that. Yep.
Craziness. All right. Hey, so listen, I want to thank the guys at America's Web Radio. Back on track. I want to thank the guys at America's Web Radio for bringing this truth, this beautiful country, these beautiful people, to the United States of America. I also want to say thank you to those who are participators and not spectators by sending Hershey's for Heroes to the Israeli soldiers.
We did it. We brought a box and we gave them out every place we went. They loved them. Little notes on them.
And you got to send me the pictures.
Our 25 people had a blast doing it. It's a great program. Really, really great program.
And I'll tell you, folks, you can never comprehend, you can never understand, you can never, ever grasp what these kids hear from the time they come out of the womb, that they're the worst, when actually they're the best. We just had a soldier stabbed last night, yesterday, by a Muslim, and that soldier had every right to kill that kid, to kill that Muslim, to shoot and mow him down, every right, got stabbed in the head. What'd he do? Instead, that soldier wrestled him bleeding to the ground. I'll take these soldiers any day. They're the best. God bless them. I spend time with them, and you could never understand. Go to the Hershey's for Heroes Facebook page and see how it changes the life of a soldier when they see a simple note on a chocolate bar. Folks, you can't understand what a few words mean when you hear negativity, the lies about this country and about these soldiers. They're the best soldiers. God bless them. Hey, go to Hershey's for Heroes on Facebook. I need your church, your civic group, your friends, your family, your synagogue to get involved with Hershey's for Heroes. We need to, because things are ramping up, Tom. You've seen it here. Things are ramping up.
It's bad.
And we need to show these soldiers we care. We're on the front lines here, boots on the ground. Even when it comes to conflict and war, we will always be there. Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes will be there. Tom Trento, God bless you guys. I love you guys.
Where are we at?
Where are we at? We are in Tel Aviv, the capital of industry.
We're in Miami Beach.
I thought we were in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, we're in Fort Lauderdale or Miami
Beach. Yeah, but you know what the difference is, guys? This is the Mediterranean.
Oh, okay.
That's the difference. So, Tom, okay, I want to start off I need my audience, because we're connected now, whether you like it or not. Okay, we got some kind of surgical connection here, spiritual connection. We got a friendship. We're both doing the same thing, except you guys are working in the States.
6,000 miles apart.
6,000 miles apart. Tom, why do you do what you do? Where are you from originally? You're Italian. I see that skin.
Italian guy, Christian guy, from New Jersey, Newark, New Jersey originally. And what do you want to know?
Where were you? You were born and raised in New York.
Newark.
New Jersey.
Not New York.
The way you
okay.
said it, you think it's
a little different. New Jersey's a little different than New York.
Right.
Until 9/11, people from New Jersey didn't like people from New York. But after that, we kind of said, all right, they're all right. So we accepted.
So what was your childhood like growing up? What were your parents like?
Great family, Italian family, very bonded, and million cousins and aunts and uncles, and you had to make sure you were very, you follow the rules, the house rules, and I grew up with a belief in God that was very important. Later in my life in college, became a born again Christian, and that redirected my path into national security work. And then when you think of national security for the United States of America, Israel is on the forefront of the battle for national security for the West and for America. And that's the quick trip as to how I got to doing what I'm doing now.
So what do you think, what steps did it take to get you where you are? Because, you know, there's a lot of things a man goes through. Look, I have my degree in theological studies and in education, and I barely, rarely used it, and I did everything but that. Some people have a degree in political science. I worked in politics for 12 years. Not even anything close. So what events transpired that pushed you in this direction?
One of the primary things that helps define my life is a sense of justice. Even as a little kid, I was a very good athlete, very fast and all of this stuff. And when we were playing on the streets of New Jersey, football, whatever it was, the big kids would always pick me to be on their team. I always saw there was an advantage that these guys had over those guys. So I would take myself and go on the team that was disadvantaged. I never knew that until way later in life. And the way that worked out academically, I wanted to go into law enforcement to enforce the law. So my first degree was in law enforcement, heading into the FBI. That's in college, where I was confronted with the... I'm losing the staff here. What's going on? A pretty girl in a bikini? A pretty girl in a bikini walking by? You're on the beach in Tel Aviv. What do you expect? And what we decided, folks, this is important. We're letting you look a little bit at our life. I know some people don't like that I smoke a cigar once in a while or have a glass of grape juice.
Well, and an insight to Israel Hershey's from here.
Yeah, Michael's cup. But we're letting you see kind of gritty cinema verte. This is life as it is, for real. So in college, I got involved in and I didn't want to get involved, but I got involved to show that minister, you know, that he's an idiot. I got involved in a Bible study that went on for 3 or 4 months, lost the arguments, gave my life to Jesus Christ in college, changed my life dramatically.
Wow.
Instead of going into law enforcement, I wanted to go into an area where law was fundamental. You know, if God exists, then his law is essential, and then civilizations figure out law based upon God's law. So I went to Moody Bible Institute.
Wow, D.L. Moody, what a great man.
I'm a graduate of Moody Bible Institute, studied theology in Greek. I could read the New Testament in Greek.
Wow.
And while there, I was applying to law school to become a lawyer.
Wow.
And I got involved in a class called apologetics, which is speaking for the defense of the Christian faith. And it hit me one day in 1977 that this is what I want to do with my life. And I looked around and I found a couple of seminaries that focused on apologetics. And I went to Denver, Conservative Baptist Theological Seminary, later named Denver Seminary, studied philosophy and apologetics, did a degree there, and then very quickly started a little rogue organization called Christian Research Associates.
Wow.
That went out and fought the battles of media and television and campuses and doing exactly what I'm doing today, but on the cultural issues. Now I'm on the national security issues. From there, 9/11 was instrumental in my life. I had studied Islam extensively. I understood Islam, the doctrines, and all of that. When 9/11 hit, okay, we're at it. This is 100 years, 50 years, whatever. And I started studying again and reading. And you know, I got a fairly large library. It got bigger. Went back to school to take courses on the Middle East in Florida. And then November of 2006, I saw a movie by the Clarion Project called Obsession, Radical Islam's War Against the West.
Amazing video.
Dramatically changed my life. I got to do it. I started an organization called Florida Security Council, which later developed into the United West. And now we're fighting the cultural and national security issues in the West. When you talk about the West, you talk about America and Israel. Israel's the center of all this. We love Israel. We know everything's taking place here, and that's how we're here today.
Wow, wow, wow. That's, you know, Tom, we kind of had a similar background because my father was a Green Beret in the U.S. Army. I was raised in a military family.
God bless him, let me tell you.
Great man, great man. I was all set up and ready to go. I wanted to go in the Navy and be a pilot. And I actually went to what is now called Holmes College of the Bible. It used to be Holmes Theological Seminary. And loved it. I loved the discipline, the structure. The same thing for the military. And I knew that's where I should be. And my dad was pretty upset with the fact that I didn't go. He didn't quite understand. But I'll tell you, first of all, I'll never regret it because I learned so much and made some friendships that are still lasting till today. The other thing is that I know the Bible so well, and it bonds me with the people here. As someone who's not...
Having that theological base, even as Christians, allows us to understand Israel much, much better.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, I didn't see it. I never thought I'd be here. I remember during the first Gulf War, Tom...
1991.
We weren't allowed to have a TV in our dorm, of course. But the dean brought us a black and white, a bunch of us guys had in one of the dorm rooms, and we were watching CNN. And we were hoping and praying one of those Scud missiles from Saddam Hussein would hit the dome of the rock so Israel could rebuild the temple. We were like, our mouth was watering for it. Unbelievable. So, and now I'm here. Yeah. And now I'm here, and those guys are back in
the
States.
Amazing?
I'm like, wow. So Tom,
God
let me
has a plan.
Absolutely.
God has a plan.
Tom, let me ask you something. You know, you guys are a nonprofit, and the work that you do is I can't say it's enough, and I hope it doesn't sound rhetorical, repetitive, but it's amazing what you do. I'm really impressed by the level of quality of your work. Knowing what you do, was there ever a time you thought, you know what? Like, I'm sure, you know, you have a son, you have a family.
Don't really have a family. That's another subject.
Okay.
But I got a son, yeah.
But, you know, was there ever a time that you said that you had doubts, that you struggled within yourself?
About what?
About the work that you do.
No. This is, I have lived my life pretty consistently from college days of giving my life to the Lord to we're all sinners. So you fall down every day. You get back up and thank God for grace.
Right.
The grace of Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. But in terms of the big steps in my life, I learned early on. Seek this counsel and the wisdom of many.
Absolutely.
I had a core of professors and serious Christian friends that whenever there was a significant step in my life, I would do a lot of praying and evaluation, and then consult these people, and then get their input, and then make decisions. And by God's grace, 35 years later, I made the right decisions all along the way. Never doubted my faith because I'm an apologist. You know, I argue for my faith. If anything else, all the years of arguing and debating and television and radio and religious, just said, okay, what's better than Christianity? There's nothing better than Christianity. And in terms of Judaism, we work with a lot of Jewish people, and they had a hard time accepting me, thinking initially that I want to evangelize them, and that's not the issue. But my close friends, Jewish rabbi friends, we disagree over who the Messiah is.
Right.
We agree we're both under the sword of the threat. We'll fight that battle, and we'll have our nice arguments over, is Jesus the Messiah? Messiah or not. So we have learned, I have learned to exist as brother Jews, loving them. Some Jewish people are closer than my own family members.
Right.
Though we fundamentally disagree on a very significant issue. That's the beauty of truth and of working on all of this stuff. So I got a great team. The United
West.
You
do. They're good guys.
We have four objectives: to defend the U.S. Constitution. We think it's a pretty good document, so we defend that. I know you talk a lot about that. We defend the state of Israel to exist. We fight anything and everything Obama does, and we fight Islamic Jihad. That's our mission, and we got some of our team members here. We got great people, and I'm the guy in front, you know. Couldn't do what I do if we didn't have a fundamentally fabulous team that's all committed.
Thank you, Tom.
And these guys, let's bring one of them over here.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on over. Oh, who's coming over first?
I'll come over. Let me put a shirt on.
Put your shirt on. Who's this? Damon? Is this Damon?
Yeah, this is Damon.
Stick your head right in here.
Another
tea for Michael. You're fighting a little.
I sound a little rough today, and I apologize, folks. I hanging out with you guys for the past 2 weeks, I'm susceptible to this stuff all the time. I work a lot of hours. I was up till like 4 this morning doing emails.
I came sick on this, so you probably got my bug. Sorry. Here's Damon.
No, it's
right
all
here.
Good. Damon, listen, thanks for being on Insight to Israel, brother.
Thanks for having me,
and
man.
And I want to say thank you to you guys for bringing Hershey's for Heroes.
Got to hold it back and forth when he talks.
Because I know that you got to see firsthand just by what you were doing, even though I wasn't there, and you got to see what it did
fabulous.
To the soldiers. Damon, how long have you been with Tom? Where are you from, first of all?
Originally Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn.
Lived in Georgia
You're
5
44.
Years.
You're 44. We're same age.
Yes, sir. I'm trying to not put that out there anymore. It's burnt me once on this trip.
He's met some
high double
young Israeli and other women out there that...
Yeah, so
well,
yes.
You're Jewish, so you're in the Jewish state.
Yeah, 44
so.
Years old, first time in Israel and Jewish, yes. And I live in South Florida.
So what have you thought so far?
Amazing. And absolutely amazing. The people, the country... the topography, just the quality, the education, the sophistication of the people, how nice they are, and you learn what a settlement is. A settlement, by the way, for those who don't know, a settlement's a nice freaking city. It's not tents and camels.
It's a new neighborhood. That's what I call them. I call them new neighborhoods. And
What has been interesting with Damon, he's a Zionist, but never been to Israel. So it's been fabulous for those who have been here before, our friends, to watch his epiphanies, his very dramatic emotional moments at different places, his just total experience with his essence of his life has been a fabulous observation.
Yeah, I grew up, for years, I was the only Jewish person in my school when I lived in the Deep South. And I put up with a lot.
You know,
and in certain instances,
I'm
and to be
jump
here
in
and the majority is amazing.
I'm going to jump in because I want you to talk about that for a minute, and because I talk to Israeli Jews, some born here, or the ones that made Aliyah, even when they were kids. I had a girl on the show that in Russia, this kid came up to her and said, "You're not Jewish, are you? Grade school. You're not Jewish, are you? I don't know." Well, I need to know if you're Jewish because my mommy told me not to play with Jewish kids. And she said she went home hoping and praying that she wasn't Jewish. And her mother had to keep it a secret. She finally told her. To tell us a little bit about what you experienced growing up, brother.
I'll tell you. Georgia wasn't a problem.
Okay.
I moved to Alabama when I was almost 11 years old. My religion didn't come up for the better part of a year. Then my second year there...
Let me ask you something, clarify something, because you know you can still be Jewish and not be religious.
I was not a religious person, but I was studying for my bar mitzvah. I had to go to Hebrew school. Okay, now there were a couple synagogues in Montgomery. Most of the wealthier Jewish families all went to the private school, Montgomery Academy, Montgomery, Alabama. I went to a public school where I was the only Jew in my school. And so, one, I was semi-ostracized a little bit by the snobbery of the Jews that went to the private school.
That's hilarious.
And then you have to realize in the very early 80s, you had the remnants of the Ku Klux Klan.
Wow.
And so I literally went to school with families that were a clan. So you can, you know, without getting too specific, you could imagine.
I think that now we're starting to understand
what the,
our brother Damon.
He's scarred emotionally. We're going to bandage up those wounds, brother.
I'm not scarred. It made me tougher.
Right, right.
So, you know, so my last year in Alabama was very rough. I mean, physical fights, mental, you know. I think one reason I'm able to give it and take it so good these days is because I lived the real verbal assaults.
Right.
And so anything I do with these guys, and for anyone that hung out with us on the trip, you know we like to
we
joke around
time.
With
we
each other.
On the trip, yeah.
But, you know, it's no joke. I mean, I couldn't imagine, you know, a kid these days. I was a little tougher. My family's from Brooklyn. You know, I couldn't imagine a kid these
from
days.
From the suburbs.
From the suburbs going through what I went through. I couldn't imagine my own nephew, who's about to be bar mitzvah, going through what I'm doing.
Wow.
Or what I had to go through,
right.
I should say.
Right.
So, you know, it gave me thick skin, and I'm glad. Listen, I'm not complaining.
Right.
I think it made me a much better person, but it's something that was real in my life, and I think that helped shape who I am today.
Wow.
Along with this guy right here.
See, you know, this is why I say, look, some of these folks, I get emails, you're so judgmental. American Jews, it's time.
You got to keep this right in front of
it's time to come home. You know, Damon, I'm going to tell you.
He may be coming home, this guy.
I am 100% serious about this, because I will tell you that the Israeli-born Jews don't want American Jews' money. They don't want them lobbying on their behalf and being their mouthpiece.
Well, that's good, because I don't have any.
They want
them. We could
them
use some. We could use some.
To bring their greatness.
Excuse me, donors.
Yeah.
To bring your greatness, bring your ingenuity, your savvy, and come here and help us make
Gene,
this...
Eugene.
Help make this country stronger and better and faster than what it already is.
I don't need this.
And let your children serve honorably next to these Jewish kids, these Israeli Jewish-born kids who fight every day for freedom. You know what? When I hear folks say, oh, Michael, it's so hard. Hey, I'm a goy. I came here with $600 in my pocket, and I didn't know anyone.
But he's a good goy.
And I made it. So I don't want to hear this stuff. My buddies in D.C. always say, I got school loans to pay off. Well, I'm sure glad that Abraham didn't say to God, well, God, I just built a new house for Sarah. You know, it'll cause marital problems. God, I just built some new barns for the sheep. I got to stick around a little bit, stay in one spot. No, Abraham was a man who was known for the altar. Thank God for obedience.
Amen.
Anyway, with that being said, Damon, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Damon, let me ask you, how long you been with Tom?
Part-time, about 6 years. Full-time, I'm almost 2.5 years.
Nice, nice. Hey, folks, you need...
Significant addition to our team.
You need to give to the United West. You'll spend $100 out on a Friday night in Florida and waste that money. In and out. That's where that. That's where
Send it to us. We'll waste it for you.
In Tel Aviv.
In Tel Aviv.
All right, thanks, guys.
So... Anyway,
I'm going to go work on my son's
Damon, hand. Damon, glad to have you. God bless you, brother. Wow, hey, you got some great guys here,
yes,
folks.
Yes. You got to hold this in front of you for our show.
Yeah, I know.
Your
Sorry
audio's
about that.
There. This only goes about an inch. You got to.
Okay,
kiss
so
them.
So folks, wow, hey, great stuff. Great stuff. What, who else are we going to pull in here?
In a little bit.
We're going to do the next section. Tom, let me ask you. You guys, I'm sure. What was your. Let me see what we got here.
Checking
we got 2 minutes. We got 2 minutes. Tell me in 1 minute your lowest time and your highest time since you started the United West.
Lowest time through some other events in my life, a former business. I had significant problems with an ex-partner and trying to ramp up an organization that was as complicated, complex, and intense as this, with all the other stuff, lawsuits and all this other stuff, and draining any money I had anywhere. That probably was the most difficult year, which was probably between 2004, a couple of years, 2006. But, you know, I had been through a lot, and I knew just keep going one step at a time, and
right.
Got through it, and here we are.
Right. What's your highest peak? The point where you're like, wow, this is amazing. Like,
tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow.
All right.
Everything's been phenomenal. You know, this trip We've been here for 2 weeks, and it.
Let me have your tea, buddy.
I've been here several times, and yeah, we are seriously thinking as to how we can set up a base in Israel. Very, very important.
Very smart.
The leadership is not going to come from the United States. Not going to come from Europe. The leadership for saving Western civilization is going to come from Israel, from key people here.
Absolutely.
So that's very, very exciting to me right now to figure out how to make that happen.
Tom, that's so important because, folks, listen, you've got to hear
this.
You've
been very motivating for all of us, seeing what you do here basically all by yourself. It's been great.
Yeah, it's, you know what, though? Let me say this real quick. I got a few seconds. Folks, you need to realize, you're right, Tom, you said it exactly correct. The leadership is going to come from Israel, and as Americans, we have a moral, biblical, historical obligation.
This is Michael Gannot with Insight to Israel. Every day, the Israeli Defense Force finds itself on the front line of the war with the militant arm of Islam. Surrounded by enemies from within and without, they fight for the only Jewish state. Military service is mandatory, ladies serving 2 years and men serving 3 right out of high school. While young people in other democracies are busy traveling or attending university, Israeli men and women gear up for basic training. In a world of heads of state, politicians, ambassadors, diplomats, and a leftist media, many times our voice at the grassroots level is drowned out. So we started an ongoing project called Hershey's for Heroes. Patriot conservatives from all over the U.S. are sending Hershey's chocolate bars with a note of thanks for defending Israel. Won't you join us by sending a sweet message to the IDF? For information, please see my Facebook page at Michael Gannot. Thank you, God bless Patriot conservatives, and God bless Israel in her struggle for sovereignty and security.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
We don't do this for the pay. We do it for the principle.
Pay? Help us understand pay. What is that?
Well, I ask myself
this
that
is
sometimes.
The pay. You know,
you're right.
We relax a little bit.
This
and,
is the best
and we fight
day
hard.
Of the year.
This is it.
We and fight hard.
Folks need to...
I should have worn shorts, man.
This is great. Florida it's beautiful out here. Folks need to really understand what's going on when it comes to this country. And too many times, you know, I think I said this the other night, if you don't have the right frame of mind, if you don't have the right, your principles in line, then you'll misconstrue and say that guy's anti-American. But we have looked too many times as Americans, our red, white, and blue, our grandma and apple pie, our baseball has gotten in the way of the biblical principles on which we are founded. Now they're turning our founding fathers into adulterers and you know, out of wedlock children and all this other craziness. So with that being said, we too many times we look at current day events and history through the porthole of America, when really we should be looking at everything through the porthole of Israel. And when we see the world's events shaping up, let me ask you, what do you think, regardless of what the government does, what do you think the benefit will come through folks that stand with Israel through organizations like ours?
It's very simple. Our primary concern on a nationalistic basis, we're American citizens. Our primary concern is the national security of the United States of America.
Right.
That's where our relatives are, our families, our businesses, all of that. And we're all very serious Americans, as you are.
Absolutely.
But being students of geopolitics, doing a daily show and having to be in the mix, we understand that the Middle East right now is the attention point, the focus point of security globally for a lot of reasons. And when you drill down even more, it becomes very evident that Israel is the center of the geopolitical instability in the world and stability. And you want to drill down even more, Jerusalem and the Temple Mount.
Right.
You come right down to that, and symbolically, you can see the division of the East and the West, cultural class of civilizations. So academically, intellectually, philosophically, geopolitically, we do all the homework, and we say, okay, to protect the home front, the United States of America, we've got to understand what's going on in the Middle East, going on in Israel. Let's get over there. Let's bring people there. Let's train them. And I had 25 people here the past 2 weeks. Let's get them back to the United States, integrate them into our educational process, the United West, and make them clones of us training their activist groups. We activate activists in the United West. And that's what's happened. That's why we're here. You know, what do I see? I see just this past week, the supposed agreement with Iran was reached by the P5 plus one, headed by the United States. And is this dead?
Yeah, I'm getting some wind back on it.
All right, want me to shut it?
No, lift it up.
Lift it up. Lift this up. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I'm getting a little wind action here.
And put it right there.
Yeah, okay.
And actually, it should be on this side. And
good.
Yep. And the Iranian debacle, you know, the Iranians just went into the poker room with Obama, and Obama left, not with no money, not with no shoes, no clothes, nothing. They screwed him around, twisted him up, threw him out. They're in a beautiful position. We see that, and we know enough, having dealt quite a bit with the intelligence and military infrastructure here in Israel. This is a bad deal. And it is a high probability, certainly a possibility, that before the elections of 2016, this country, Israel, will strike Iran. Then our work is going to be quadrupled. Your work will be quadrupled, trying to maintain support for Israel throughout the West. That's what we're gearing up for.
Tom, I want to ask you an honest question.
Hey, Tom, share mic.
When you look...
Want to put batteries in here?
No. It's just I'm just getting some bad feedback. Go ahead.
All right, we'll share that mic. I'll shut this off. Hey, live television, folks. We don't need that anymore. You want me to use a walkie-talkie?
No.
Hello. We use walkie-talkies to stay in touch with each other. Donors.
Let me
a little commercial for the donors. We use walkie-talkies here, so we don't have to use phones.
That's right.
Drive up the cell phone.
Yellow, that's beautiful.
No, test.
Yellow.
Okay.
That's beautiful. No, Tom.
We got to go back and forth.
Okay. Let me ask you. When you look at...
Are you schmucky? Are you...
Timing this?
Yeah.
Yes.
When you look at Obama's history, look at his past, how he was raised...
37 minutes in.
When you look at his treatment, you know, before the election, I had, a lot of folks, it's the media, you know, the media here, the media in the West, it's going to tear apart the fabric of the relationship between the United States and Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, let me make you very aware of something, okay? The relationship with Israel is intact because the grassroots of the United States stands with the Jewish people, not because of the government. Forget that. Not because of the government. It's because of when you go to Hershey's for Heroes, go to Tom's show, go to Insight to Israel, it's intact. It's intact. And it's not going anywhere. No matter how much the government tries to mess it up. But when you look at Obama's history and look how he's treated Bibi, he's treated this guy with such huge disrespect. Let me ask you, do you really think that it's just because he's not on the job, because he's ignorant, doesn't know how to run a country, or do you think it's intentional? I will come out and say I can't help but say it's intentional. What would be your view on that?
On our show, Michael, we do the modality we use for our show is edutainment. We educate and entertain because the stuff is so serious, so difficult.
It's very serious.
You know, you swallow your revolver if you get too involved in it. So we're very good at analyzing the facts. In 2007, we started a three-hour presentation on then Barack Obama.
Who's
went into his psychological makeup, his childhood, all of this. And we were arguing pre-2008, this is a person who hates Jews and hates Israel. I mean, it doesn't take much to figure that out. So we said, is this leopard... You know, is it a leopard or tiger? Leopard have spots? Leopard has spots. Is this leopard...
Tigers have stripes.
Is this tiger going to change his spots, or is a leopard going to change its lines or whatever?
Flip that, whatever.
Yeah, one of those
have some more grape juice.
we said, obviously, his Weltanschauung, his worldview, the way he views the world, Israel is an annoyance, and Jews are a double annoyance. Are his politics and policies going to change? No, of course not. So we're not surprised when he sees somebody like Netanyahu, who's a definitive Israeli in many respects, not loved by even people who vote for him totally, because sometimes he backs off when he ought not back off the bad guys.
Right.
But certainly the world knows now, what we were saying in 2007, what is it, 15, 8 years ago, that Obama hates Israel. Therefore, he originally sided with the Muslim Brotherhood and the Sunnis, but he saw the regional transition, and he's an expeditious guy. What's expedient for him to figure out how to help the world in his demented mind is now to side with the Shia and with the Persians, who are the Iranians, and he's going with the Shia now, and that's really a stick in the eye of Israel. This is going to create global ramifications and repercussions that could have a thermonuclear component to it. Very, very bad. And somebody that knows a lot about this is our guy from Florida, Alan Corman.
Let's bring him on. Alan, get over here,
bro. You need to interview him.
Corn Dougie!
Alan.
Hey, I'm Mike, Tom. Great to be here.
Hey, Alan, let me ask you, first of all, you're from Florida.
I am from Orlando, Florida.
Orlando.
Where are you from originally?
Atlanta, Georgia. Born and raised.
That's where America's Web Radio is.
That is.
So let me ask you.
Mike.
You got to have that.
Okay, yeah, I get.
Hand it to him.
I'm not used to a microphone. So, how long have you been with the United West?
Been with Tom about 3 years now, and it has been a great 3 years. This man runs a fantastic organization. Get to meet people like you that love the state of Israel to the highest level. It's inspirational to me.
Okay, so what did you do before you met Tom?
You got to put this when you talk.
I do that all the time. What did you do before you met Tom?
Similar type of work. But working with the United West, it took it up to a whole new level.
I'll tell you, I've enjoyed. It's been encouraging to me. You know, I told Iris, who's my executive administrator. She's not even paid. The girl does phenomenal work. I said, you know, it's really good to have these guys here because you know, I don't get to hang out with Americans that, A, are involved in the same functional work that I am.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of American Israelis here, but they're not involved the way I am in the realms and circles of what we do. So it's been refreshing for me and encouraging, and especially your people that you brought here. You brought a great caliber of people on this tour. Now, let me ask you, I want to go back to what you do with the United West. Explain what you do, because you were talking about some stuff that you did.
We do various types of activism. We go to where the bad guys are, and we expose them with their own words, their own actions for the whole world to see. And more importantly than that, if you take a look around you, and you take a wide-angle shot of this beach, we are here in Tel Aviv. You go north that way, the Gaza Strip is there. They share...
No, you got it backwards.
You go south this way, you've got Lebanon. They've got about 1,000 rocks.
South is the Gaza.
Gaza is...
Wait, hang on.
North is Lebanon.
For Floridians, the ocean is on the east coast.
This
is the west over here. It's very confusing. So, that Bill, yeah?
Right. Yes, you did. Thank you.
Okay.
On either side of us, you've got the Gaza Strip and Lebanon. We've got about 10,000, 15,000 rockets pointed at us right now. The Gaza Strip, as Tom and will tell you, they share a similar beach line. The Gaza Strip could have all of this beauty, all of this hotels and income, but instead, they would rather kill Jews than build up this, and it is a very, very sad reality that you don't see unless you're here in Tel Aviv.
Now, you know what's amazing, Tom, and for those who need to study history, at the same time that Bill Clinton and Shimon Peres and Yasser Arafat, I call them Mule Lips. You ever see the guy talk?
All right, well, thank you very much, boys.
Hey, brother, thank you for being on the show.
All right.
God bless you. As they were sitting and signing the Camp David peace accords, little Ahmed was getting out of school down in the Gaza, and his parents were saying, okay, it's time to go dig a tunnel. For 12 years, the Israelis were willing to do whatever it took, even to give up the Gaza Strip, little did they know that they're, that, can you imagine? Yasser Arafat sitting there knowing those tunnels are being built and signing that? I can't imagine it. And it, folks can't wrap their mind around the fact that there's wars going on all around us. 100,000 rockets from Hezbollah and Lebanon. Hezbollah and the Iranian Guard are trying to form a larger front on the Syrian-Lebanon border. I was up there in January. Unbelievable, Tom. What is going on against this country?
And this stuff, folks, is an hour, 2 hours from where we're sitting right now.
Yeah.
And if they start firing missiles, if they start firing missiles, we got to get the hell out of here.
This is, it's crazy. And but you would never know it because these people, they, yeah, they know their children are going to have to defend the country. Can you imagine that? The minute your child comes out of the womb, you look at it and you say, okay, I love my child. There's the love. The mother has the love. The Ima has the love. But she knows in the back of her mind, my kid, my child is going to have to defend my freedom one day.
That's, it's mind-boggling.
It's unacceptable. Yeah. Yeah. It is unacceptable. And if you come against the Jewish people, I promise you, you are not my friend. If you are even thinking about a two-state solution,
I'm going to kick your ass.
Hey, we don't say it on my show. Relax. Anyway, I apologize. Got to get the Jew guy in line every now and then. God help this. Wash his mouth. That Mother Gano hears that. My good night.
That's not that bad. That's allowed. That's one of the words that's allowed.
That's not
in
one of the seven words.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. You want to hear the seven words?
No,
it's all good. Mother Gano will pray for sanctification of his lips, just like Isaiah, the coal off the altar. Anyway, aside from that, we love you, David. I love you. Just kidding with you, brother. It's amazing how these folks thrive and survive. That's the only two existences they know. And so the reason
we have seen this traveling.
Go ahead.
Around,
I want you to share.
No, we have seen a granite constitution in regular Israelis, not people in the military, all that, but the regular Israeli. When you talk to them about the threat from the Hamas or Hezbollah, whatever, yeah, we got to deal with that, and we'll deal with it as we can. But life goes on in Israel. Life goes on in Israel.
We got 9 minutes.
And it's amazing. Americans cannot even fathom the dualistic life that Israelis have to live.
9 minutes left.
And you're right. This on the, what is that going to be? The east, the western border, we've got 1.5 million people in Gaza that hate Israel. Go up to Lebanon, Hezbollah runs that. Go over to Syria, the Islamic State wants to come in. Jordan, half of Jordan hate, half, more than half, hates Israel. Go down to Egypt, the Egyptians hate Israel. Sisi's working now for expedient reasons. And when you start moving out, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Tunisia, Libya, Algeria, This is serious stuff, man.
And that's the thing, folks. I did some research, Tom. Sometimes, I guess it's the medication I'm on. I'm feeling a little emotional. But I did research and found that our government funds over a dozen Muslim countries with billions of dollars of weapons that all hate Israel. And when I hear these Republicans, my friends in Washington, D.C.
You worked in D.C., right?
I did. I worked in politics for 12 years, lived in D.C. for 7 of those. And I get ostracized by these folks that have no clue what they're talking about when they say, we give more money to Israel than we give to any other country. Well, that's a lie, because we give aid to all those countries, which is free money. But we give a loan to Israel, and they have to buy our weapons, which are basically, we give them the eggshell without the yolk. But they got a better yoke than we do. Double yoke.
Tom, double yoke. The cost of replacing Israeli aid. Explain the cost, that $3 billion, and what America gets in return for that $3 billion.
Yeah, the question is, explain the fundamental financial reality that America gives Israel something like $3 billion a year. All right, let's say we shut that money down, and who's going to keep the marauding zombies at bay if Israel is going to do it? The United States is going to have to somehow get over here and put bases and aircraft carriers and soldiers and all of that. That $3 billion goes to $30 billion. So just economically, it makes sense to get 6 or 7 million Jewish people who have a desire to do this and just fund them. It's funding the frontline battle of Western civilization. It makes all the sense in the world to do that.
It does. You know, I actually, had someone post on my Facebook page last year. The Congress signed a bill. It was to improve business with Israel and the United States. And it talked about us giving them more arms and stuff. And so, an American Jew who should be here, unless you're elderly or mentally and physically handicapped, you should be here with your people. But aside from that, they posted this on my Facebook and they said there's hope. There's hope because of this bill. And so I said, okay, we'll see. I looked into the details of the bill. Excuse me. One of the details in this bill were...
Drink your tea. Take a sip of tea.
Yeah.
Take.
Michael's a little under the weather came out on this horribly cloudy, rainy day here.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
To meet with us and put a show together. Okay, give me 2 minutes.
So I'm reading through this bill. We keep weapons here on Israeli soil. We store them.
The United States
does, okay? And so if they need one of those weapons, like a Patriot missile battery or something, which they actually used back in January to shoot down some rockets coming from Lebanon, they got to pay us back. Our ally has to pay us back for something they used to defend their country, and they're an ally. It boggles my mind. It blows my mind. Plus, along with that, there's a lot of stipulations when it comes to... where was I going with this? Anyway, the bill wasn't good, I'll tell you.
It was a bad bill. It was a bad bill.
On the surface, it looks good because it does business with Israel, increases business, blah, blah, blah. But in the end, when it comes to weapons, folks, we should not be giving Islam not one, either side. Not one. We just shipped February, Tom. We shipped $25 million worth of weapons, 60 million rounds of ammunition. They're trying to take away our ammunition.
Where
do
we ship
it
to?
To Lebanon.
Oh, Lebanon.
Lebanon. I posted the article. I was flabbergasted when it came out in J-Post. We're shipping artillery and weapons and rounds. Can you imagine 60 million rounds of ammunition?
That's to who? I mean...
Well, it's supposed to go. Here's what folks don't understand. It's supposed to go to the Lebanese government. And people leftists try to separate. Well, that's not Hezbollah. Well, Hezbollah, if they can store 100,000 rockets in Lebanon, they got control of the government. So all of this, if you talk to anyone here that was in the military...
Uh-oh.
Who's the military guy behind
the military
you?
Military guy.
Hey, how you doing?
Hold on.
I just want to let Michael's radio audience know.
Please.
They probably have not told your radio audience that you are now a TV celebrity. You're coming in an upcoming movie with Richard Gere.
Richard Gere, who's a leftist and he wants to interfere. somehow Richard Gere comes
You're going to be on the B-roll floor, man. Keep that up.
No, because after this radio show, when I defrock Richard Gere, they're not going to want me around.
So what's the show? What's the movie? What's the upcoming movie?
So the movie I played, actually, thank God BB1, I actually played a diplomatic advisor to the Israeli Prime Minister. And I didn't have much of a part. I entertained the Chinese and the Russians. And the movie actually was set back, and it's called Oppenheimer.
Okay.
It was actually talks about how Israel got their nukes.
Oh.
It's a nonfiction, and it's amazing how this is coming out now. During this whole crisis that Israel's faced when it comes to Iran.
So you want your green M&Ms now, or what? I mean, what do you want? Because superstar?
First of all, this ain't Hollywood, brother. I made 600 shekels for 2 days' work for working about 15
That's
hours
$150.
It's about $150. So, but you know what it does?
You're in a lot of commercials, too.
I am. I just actually was in a sitcom 2 weeks ago. But you know what it does? It gives me a unique opportunity, because most of the people that work in this industry, they're leftists.
Yeah.
I don't have anything against folks. I love folks. But when you're an outsider, just like you guys, we're sitting here talking right now. Is this still running?
It's running.
Still running.
Okay.
It's running.
We're sitting here talking right now, and I would imagine that lady right there is probably a leftist. I can tell by looking at her hair.
You know what? I think you're right.
So it's like... you know, there's we're here in Tel Aviv. This is the bubble. They'll tell you we live in a bubble. And there's a lot of leftists down here. But they have to, when they talk to someone like us,
right,
who don't quite understand why do you love this country so much? And when you tell them they're number one in technology, agriculture, and medicine, and you start shelling out facts about their country that they didn't even know, and you start talking about the Bible, well, you know the Bible better than I do. Well, that's an admission. Well, you know the news. You know what's going on more than I do. That's an admission. Now they no longer have an argument, and now when you show that love to them, now there is hope. Tell me more.
All right, well, who are you?
I'm Jay Marquette.
I'm sorry. I apologize, guys.
No, that's all right. No, I've worked with
Tom.
We've
got 1 minute left.
All right, we're with Tom from the beginning of the organization, and so we're here in Israel. You know, it's my third time here, and fabulous. I tell you what, Michael, you do some fabulous work at Hershey's for Heroes, and you do is really, really fantastic, my friend. And, you know, my hat's off to you, you know, making the sacrifices that you do. And I'm glad you get some opportunities in the TV industry and everything like that. But, I mean, your work is absolutely fabulous, my friend.
I appreciate it, brother. Thank you.
And, Michael, we're at the end of our show right now. And
we got 7 minutes left in mine.
For yours, yeah. We do. We love you greatly. You're doing tremendous work to take up a guy who was successfully working in Washington, D.C. in communications, public relations. Just 30. Felt a call from God to come to Israel. That's why he's so passionate about calling Jewish people back to Israel to do Aliyah. We're at definitive and dangerous days. Thank you for everything you do. We will have you on the show regularly.
I look forward
Hershey's for Heroes.
15.
Go to his website, to Insight for Israel, Hershey's for Heroes. Please support him. Send him $100, $1,000, whatever. And we're ending now. The United West show is over. We're going to continue your radio show.
All right. Hey, it's great being with you guys. Love you.
Keep going.
Keep
your show.
Oh, we'll keep it going. Okay. Now, listen, you stopped me at a good time. You guys, there's so many of you guys I'm used to dealing with one-on-one.
Yeah.
So I get distracted a little bit. It's the ADHD. But so, Tom, what we were talking about was you're hilarious. Tell us what you do real quick here for the United West. Did we talk about that?
He's talking to J. Mark Campbell, because now we're only on the radio. Yeah. Mark, what do you do?
I'm communications director for Tom. I make him look good, and that's my job.
You guys do a fantastic job. What do you think about the new studio?
Oh, it's fantastic. We had a studio that's unlike anything. I mean, around, we're doing CNN type of work, and we're doing a green screen, a full production studio work, and so we're taking it to the next level. And you know, Michael, you're welcome to come in the studio anytime you want to, since I know you're a superstar now. So you know, please come and autograph.
We do have to get him. We got to get him to the States. No,
at some point I'll come because I've got some people I need to visit. But I'll be honest with you. Because of things, the way things are going, it's tough to want to go.
Yeah.
I just all the time, even when
you like to be where the action is, don't you?
Yeah. It's, you know what? It's not just it's that. And I wouldn't have, honestly, I don't think I would have made it if it weren't for the fact that I see what's coming.
Yeah.
And I know that it's either going to affect me or I'm going to affect it. It's one of those two
back
things.
Back to my jab.
All right. Tom, it's one of those two things. We're either going to let the signs of the times affect us, or we're going to affect them.
No, I'm with you, brother, really. Folks, Tom Trento here now, because we're only on the radio side, Michael's show. Every single day, you look around the region and something dramatic is taking place.
You get dropped the mic.
And Michael is... no, this is his audio. And Michael is on the forefront of it. In fact, back in January when there was some exchange of fire on the northern border, Michael reported back to us. And before any news outlet anywhere had it, Michael said, sadly, a couple of soldiers have been killed. And we just put out a little post on Facebook, possibly soldiers killed. And something very interesting happened, Michael, that I'd like you to share. We got Israelis saying, don't tell us that. We don't want to know that. We wait for our government to say it. And a very close-knit community. Help us understand what was going on there.
You know, I tell you, these lives, I've seen thousands, between 4,000 and 10,000 people show up for a funeral of a soldier. They take it very, very seriously here. A Jewish life, I don't care if you're left-wing, right-wing, whatever you believe, secular. These folks, they know when it comes to a time of war, they're all Jews and they stick together. It's amazing. In the hospital, I literally saw, Tom, thousands of people in the hospital, thousands of people going from room to room with gifts for the soldiers. Unbelievable. Folks, you can't even imagine, you can't comprehend. You've got to come here and be a part of this country and just get a taste of it on the end of your tongue. Milk and honey, brother, we think it's all about money. This is about life experience. This is the milk and honey of Israel.
And we can take folks here. TheUnitedWest.org, that's our organization. You can contact me, Tom@TheUnitedWest.org. And in about 6 months, we're going to put another group together, bring another group here. You can come and you know, we'll get you more formally involved with our group. But if people want to do it, your listening audience, we're taking it. And this isn't a tour, a biblical tour of Israel. We don't do those.
Right.
We do national security tours. We go to the hot spots. Now, in that, you have to pass the biblical stuff of significant proportion.
Absolutely.
I happen to have some expertise in the biblical stuff and the national security stuff. So we stop there and we talk about that. So it's pretty cool. It's perfect.
All right. Hey, Tom, this is great stuff. I'm glad. I'm very happy to be working with you guys. And we're at the end of our show. Wow, it goes fast.
It goes fast.
It goes fast. Listen, folks, this is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes. God bless the patriot conservatives who stand for the Judeo-Christian founded Constitution and Bill of Rights. And God bless Israel in her fight for sovereignty and security.
Amen. Goodbye, everybody. We'll see you now.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Leading the Way features the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Michael Youssef, the founding pastor of the Church of the Apostles in Atlanta. I hope that you'll make plans to join us each week when we're privileged to share two recent messages that I know will encourage you in your faith. You'll also learn more about the worldwide outreach of Leading the Way to more than 200 countries and in more than 20 different languages. So join us right here for Leading the Way.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome to this week's edition of Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef. Dr. Youssef is the founding pastor of the Church of the Apostles in Atlanta. The mission of Leading the Way is to passionately proclaim uncompromising truth, and our partnership with America's Web Radio helps us do that in this area and around the world. If you'd like to learn more about the worldwide ministries of Leading the Way, simply go to leadingtheway.org. Now, though, get your Bible, sit back, and be ready to be challenged and encouraged on this week's edition of Leading the Way. Dr. Michael Youssef.
Now, a lot of people like to think of Jesus just as that little cute baby in the manger. That he was, but he's a lot more than that. A lot of people just want to stay thinking about Jesus hanging helplessly on that cross. And he did, but he no longer on that cross. He rose again. Some people like to, well, he's just a sugar daddy. When you need something, you go to him. He is the Lord of lords and the God of all gods and the King of all kings. The risen Lord Jesus Christ, now glorified, is a whole lot different from these religions and these people who are trying to seek the truth. He is the truth. When you come to him, you don't have to seek the truth because he is the one. When you find him, you have found the truth.
Welcome to Leading the Way, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Michael Youssef. It's Easter. This weekend, most churches will be filled to capacity. Many people there will have a perception of Jesus as bearded and sandaled, or maybe, as Dr. Youssef just mentioned, as that baby in a manger lying on the straw. But today on Leading the Way, Dr. Youssef focuses your attention on the salvation that Jesus brings through his victory over death and the grave. It is appropriately called the resurrection of Jesus. Your future depends on it. Perfect content to reflect on as we enter this momentous weekend. Here's Dr. Youssef to begin.
Throughout history, we've seen it again and again. Whenever humanity develops and civilization takes place, every time it is because biblical Christianity became a foundation. Whenever biblical Christianity is rejected, there is a dark age. And we've seen it in Europe during the dark ages when biblical Christianity was rejected. We're seeing it today throughout the world where biblical Christianity is rejected, where there's nothing but terrorism and death. Acts 17, the Apostle Paul found himself in that ancient city of Athens. At that point of history, Athens had passed its peak, just like Western civilization appears to be passing its peak. Athens had entered into a long afternoon of decline, just as Western culture seemed to be entering that long afternoon of decline. Athens became a